Okay, Dalet Amir Aleph, the first of the wide lines. Okay, the story up to now basically is on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to water or do work in a field if you don't do it, it's going to cause a damage to the field. And therefore, certain fields you're allowed to water on Chol HaMoed between the first days and last days, because if you don't, then the field will get ruined. But, and this is important for the upcoming Gemara, what we learned in the past, if it's too much work, if it's too much effort, then the Chacham did not permit it. In other words, if it's minimal work, and you're going to lose money if you don't do it, you're going to ruin the field, so then you're allowed to do it. But if any two conditions are missing, meaning it's either a lot of work, a lot of effort, or it's just to beautify a field, not to stop it from loss of money, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
What's a lot of work?
Oh, we're going to see in the Gemara. For some people...
Yeah, it differs from person to person.
Yeah, but the Gemara gives certain guidelines. Gufa, we learned before. The last four words from the other line. Gufa, we learned before in the Gemara. Amr Abzeir said the following statement. Amr Rabba Bayimya. Rabzeir said, in the name of Rabba Bayimya, in the name of Shmuel, Nahoras HaMeshen Mayim Eno Agamim, streams that draw water from the ponds. Mutar lahashkis mem chol hashomed, allowed to water them in chol hamoed. This is what the Gemara quoted before, that streams that come from ponds, you could water the fields with them in chol hamoed. So the Gemara says, Eser Rabbi Yirmiyah l'Rabbi Zeira, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asked a question from Rabbi Zeira, we learned in our Mishnah, avolemi make shamim, volemi make kilin. Did you not allow to water an irrigated field, not from a pool of rainwater, and not from a water of a well? Right? Why? Because we're afraid the water level is going to decrease. It's going to get less. And then you're going to have to start schlepping pails. And schlepping pails of water, that's already considered an effort. So our mission implies that you're not allowed to do it. So how does Rabbi Zeira say you could? Amalei said, Rabbi Zeira said to Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah called me Yirmiyah, but Yirmiyah, my son. Hani agamim de Bavel, these ponds, Kashmul, who said this din, lived in Bavel. In Bavel, the ponds were like water that didn't stop. So therefore the whole fear is the water level might drop, and then you're going to have to go schlep water from different places with pails, which is a lot of work. Where they lived, where Shmuel said that then, they had an abundance of water, so they were never afraid that the water is going to go down. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. Here, Dalid.
Okay, thanks.
Tan Rabbanan learnt. Apsikas v'abreches, ditches and pools, shenismalu mayim erev yomtif, that were filled with water from before yomtif, also lahashkes mehem b'chol hamoed. You're not allowed to water with these ditches. You're not allowed to water from the water of the ditches, the fields on chol hamoed. Why? Again, for the same reason, because maybe the water level will drop, and then you're gonna have to bend down and schlep it out with the pails of water, and therefore it's excessive effort, and therefore you're not allowed. But what happens if a spring-fed water canal was going through the ditch? So then mutter, then you're allowed to. Why? Because again, we're not afraid the water level is going to be depleted. So therefore, there's an abundance of water, so it's not a problem. Because all you have to do is basically channel the water into the field. So that's not considered a lot of effort. But Amr Apopa clarifies this thing, and he says, "V'hu sheruba shel eisa shoda sheisa meisa ames amayim." When did we say you're allowed to water a field from a ditch if the water has a spring going through it? That's only when the majority of the field could be watered from this pond, from the well, from the spring that's going through. But otherwise, not. Okay, meaning he says, if the whole field could be watered at one time from this channel running through the ditch, then you could water from this ditch. Why? Because we're not afraid that the water is going to be depleted, that he's going to have to start schlepping with pails. But if it's not enough to water the whole field, then we're afraid he is going to start schlepping pails. That's excessive work, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to. Ravashi argues, and Ravashi says, even if the majority of the field cannot drink, meaning it cannot be watered from this one canal running through, you're also allowed to. I were afraid that the guy might schlep pails and start watering the field. Rav Ashi said we're not afraid of that. Why? The fact that the water keeps coming, so he says it won't be today, or be tomorrow. So he says, if I won't be able to water it in one day, he'll let it drink in 2 or 3 days. Meaning as follows. The argument is like this. There's a ditch. So we said, a field that has a ditch, we're not allowed to water a field with it on Chol HaMoed, because the water level might drop. You're going to schlep pails. You schlep pails, so then it's a problem of excessive work on Yom Tov. So it says that if there's a spring-fed canal running through the ditch, where you have a lot more water, so then you're allowed to. But Rav Papa said, when are you allowed to? That's only if that canal running through the ditch has enough water to water the whole field at one time. So therefore, we're not afraid you're going to start schlepping pails. Why? Because you have enough water to water the field. Tomorrow, you want to water it again, you'll have more water coming in. Rav Ashi says, even if there's not enough water to water the whole field, you're still allowed to. Why? Because the farmer says, you know what? If it doesn't get filled today, if I don't water the field today, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day. We're not afraid the guy is going to schlep pails. Because he says it's going to be fed again with the canal, so tomorrow, the next day, we'll be able to do it. So then, in other words, the basic argument, basically, here is, will a guy schlep pails or not? One opinion says yes, one opinion says no. But everybody agrees, if you would have to schlep pails to draw water, you wouldn't be allowed to do it on Yom Tov.
And Chol HaMoed. Now, these are private farms, right, Avraham? You're talking about private fields?
And not
public. Like city farms?
We're going to see later in the Gemara about public places.
Well, we can't do excessive work if it's
private. Right. The Gemara is going to talk about it. If it's public things, even excessive work would be permitted. Here we're talking about private properties, a person, because we learned that he can't dig a trench on Chol HaMoed because excessive work. But if they needed water, let's say, for the people that were going up for Yom Tov or for public places for people to drink water, you would be allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed because it's for public need. Public need would be allowed. Okay, now the Gemara continues with another braisa. Tan Rabbanan, Dalet Amud Aleph. Like 10 lines in the bottom. Tan Rabbanan Lut. Berecha Shenetefes Mayim, a pool that water trickles down Mistei Beis Shalchan Zu from one irrigated field. Mota Lahashkis Mimena Sade Beis Shalchan Acheres. You could water, meaning like this, if you have 2 fields, both are irrigated fields, and there's water dripping down from, let's say, a reservoir into one field, you're allowed to let the water go into the other field also. Meaning you could channel the water into the second field also. So the Gemara asks the question, no, but there's a problem with that. Va'avida, the paske, is going to eventually run out of water. And what happens when they run out of water? They're going to have to start drawing water from another place. And again, they're going to have to start schlepping pails. So which you seemingly you shouldn't be allowed to. Amir Rabbi Yibia says, Va'adayin himetav tefes. When are you allowed to do it? When it's still trickling. And because the water is still coming down, we're not afraid the water is going to stop. But Abaye says, when does this then apply? Shalei pasik mayin rishin. When the initial source of water still has plenty of water. Because if that's cut from water, then it's not going to trickle down, and then it won't go from one field into the next. So again, basically, the Gemara is just saying the same thing in many different scenarios. Basically, fields that are going to lose money, that you're going to ruin the fields if you don't water them, you can water them. Providing is not too much effort. And the Gemara's conclusion from all the Gemara so far is, a person, once you start watering a field, you're not going to stop in the middle. You're going to keep going. If you don't have the water there, you're going to schlep pails and start bringing water from different places. That already is considered a bother. And the Gemara later is going to say an interesting concept. Sometimes bending down more than you usually bend like depending how deep it is, if you have to bend further down, that could be considered an extra effort. Like X amount of feet down is allowed. If you bend down more than that amount, that's already considered an effort, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed. But that we're going to see later in the Gemara. Okay, now the Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Nasya says. By the way, you have to understand, all these cases that we're learning now, in the days of the Gemara, were extremely common. I mean, today they don't sound very relevant for us. But you do have dinim where it applies today. I mean, just in a practical sense. Can you water your garden in Chol HaMoed? Your grass? You have flowers. Can you water them in Chol HaMoed? Can you water your grass in Chol HaMoed? You know, all these things apply today. And basically the halacha is, if you don't water it, it's going to get ruined.
Or dig a hole to put a tree in
it. Or plant flowers, Chol HaMoed. Because anything which is for beautification, you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. This is only to save you from a loss. So to plant flowers in Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to. To start adding flowers, Chol HaMoed, I mean, anything for the purpose of beautifying was not allowed. You're only allowed to do things which will, you know, save you from losing. Okay, now Reb Shimon Menasya says another similar case. Reb Shimon Menasya Eimer, Shtei Aruga Sula Maile Nizu. Two beds of produce, whatever, things growing in a field. One is higher than the next. Okay, you used to have like a mountain, so you have a higher place and a lower place. Lo Yadla Minatachtein Evi Yashke Sel Yeinu. You cannot draw water from the lower one to water the higher one. Because carrying water lower to higher, that's an effort. Higher to lower, we learned before in the Gemara, is not a problem. The water trickles down. So that's not an effort. You're allowed to do it. But the water from a lower field to a higher field, that you're not allowed to. Then the Gemara says, Yisrael Kenam Rabbelazer Bar Shimon, Rabbelazer, but Rabbi Shimon said even a more of a case. Not only if it's higher or lower, even if afila aruga achas, even one field, that half of it is higher and half of it is lower. In other words, the first din was two fields, one higher and lower. You can't water from the lower to the higher. But I would think maybe in one field, it's just that, you know, there's a little hill in the field that it can water from the lower to the higher. So Reb Shimon says, no, you're not allowed to. One field. Part of the field is low and part of the field is higher. You cannot water from a lower place to a higher place. For the Pasha, the simple reason is because it is exerting yourself and therefore you're not allowed to. Even though it's going to become ruined because of it. We're talking about, again, even though it's saving money, you get one.
We're talking about a slope also, not just like a level.
Yeah, as long as, anytime you don't going from lower to higher, which is going against gravity, basically, so then you would. Now, would this apply if a guy has a pump that pumps the water up and all you do is press a button? So then obviously this wouldn't apply. That's not called an effort. But if it's an effort, by schlepping, you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. Four lines in the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan learnt. Madlin Liyarokis. We don't know yet exactly. The Gemara is going to discuss what this din means. The Gemara thought one way, and the Gemara is going to change its mind. Madlin Liyarokis simply means you could draw. We don't know yet draw what. But you could draw for vegetables, Kedei La'echlam, in order to eat them. Meaning, the Gemara thought. What the Gemara thought is that you're allowed to water vegetables that you want to eat, that when you eat them, they should be fresh and moist. This is while still in the ground, obviously, not once it's out of the ground. Okay, because by keeping them moist and fresh is better. This is what the Gemara thought. But, v'im b'shvil yapayson, if you're doing it not to eat, you're doing it just to make them look nicer, also, it's forbidden. That's the logic. You want to eat it, you want to make it better to eat. So for Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do it. You can water or draw water to water the vegetables. That's what the Gemara thought now, is that's what it meant. So Gemara tells a story. Ravina v'Rabba Tisva. Ravina Rabba Tisva. That was the guy's name. Rabba Tisva. Have a ka'oz le'b'urcha. They're walking in a field, in a road during Chol HaMoed. Chazal lohu gavra. He saw a certain man. Dava dolly davla b'chol HaMoed. He was drawing water with a pail. And Chol HaMoed, watering a vegetable garden. Okay, they walked, and they saw this guy drawing water from a pail to water a vegetable garden. Amalei Rabba Tisefta l'Ravina. So Rabba Tisva said to Ravina, let's put this guy into excommunication. Let's excommunicate. Let's put him to Chedim. Why? Because he's going against the Rabbinic Halacha. Because Rabbinic Halacha, this is what Ravina Tisva said. He says, you're not allowed to draw water with the pail and Chol HaMoed. The Chacham forbid it. This guy is doing it. Let's ban him, because in the olden times, the Chachamim would excommunicate a guy who went against rabbinic decrees. More so than if a guy did against the biblical decree. Why? There's a rule in the Gemara, it's brought down in Halacha, many different places, but the Gemara says it. Chamorim divrei seferim yesim medivrei teirim. The Chachamim put a strictness on rabbinic ordinances, stricter than a biblical ordinance. Why? It's a very simple reason. Biblical things people were careful about. Rabbinic things people were very lax about. They said, oh, who the rabbi said? He said, big deal. God didn't say it, the rabbi said it. So to make it stricter, to give it more power to it, which the Torah gave the Chachamim to do, you allowed the Chachamim would excommunicate a person. In fact, the Gemara says in Brachas even a stronger expression. The Gemara says, "Aver al divrei seifim chayiv misa." The Gemara says, if somebody transgresses a rabbinic ordinance, he's liable for death. Why? Because that was the strength that the Chachamim had. So they see this guy drawing water from a pail on Chol HaMoed to water a vegetable garden. So one rabbi says to the next, "Hey, look what this guy's doing. Let's put him into a ban." Amalei, so Ravina said to him, "What do you mean? He's not doing anything wrong." Vatanya, we just learned, Madlin liyorokis kedei lachlan, that you are allowed to draw water from a pail to water vegetables if you want to eat them. So the guy didn't do anything wrong. What do you want to excommunicate him for? He's allowed to. Amalei, so he answered him back, Misavris, my madlin maya. When it says you're allowed to draw water with a pail, that's not what it means. The expression of the Braise was Madlin Iliyarakis. Madlin means, we don't know what Madlin means. Until now the Gemara thought Madlin comes from the word dole, to draw water with the pail. He said, no, that's not what it meant. Of course that you're allowed to do. I'm sorry, the water you're not allowed to do. What does it say in the Braise? You could. It's speaking a completely different dint. What does Madlin mean? He said, "Me savit, do you think my madlin that it means drawing water? No. What does madlin mean? Shalufi. Shalufi is like this. When people grew vegetables, if there are too many vegetables, all the vegetables wouldn't get enough power from the nutrients from the ground. So what did they do? People used to pick out vegetables to leave more room for the other vegetables, and they would eat it. While they're picking it, they would eat it. But meanwhile, the other vegetables would grow much better. So he said to him, when the Braise says you're allowed to be madle for vegetables on Chol HaMoed, he says it doesn't mean watering with a pail. That you're not allowed to do. And this farmer who's doing it, we should excommunicate him. So he said, but the Braise says you could do madlin. He said, madlin doesn't mean water with a pail. Madlin means pull out vegetables.
Thinning out
vegetables. But why are you allowed to do it? Because you're eating them. When you pull them out, you're eating them. So Chol HaMoed for food, you can cook, you can do whatever you want. It's not a problem.
So this argument happens on the road between two sages.
Right.
And one didn't know the meaning of madlin on the other.
No, we're not done yet. He ended up to be right. When the rabbis walked in the road, that's what they talked about. Okay? They spoke in learning. not like whatever. The rabbis had no other interest. They had no sports. Well, the Romans had, but they didn't have any sports to play with. They had no nightclubs. They had no iPods. They had no emails. They had no computers. Basically, they had nothing else to do, so they learned. Okay. Huh?
No cell phones either.
Yeah, no telephones, bichlal. So they used to sit and learn. And you have a lot of stories in the Gemara, by the way, of things that the Chacham were walking on the way, and they saw something, and they said, oh, it reminds me of something, and learning it, they were talking learning. So, and by the way, these rabbis also understood that if they saw something, like the Baal Shem Tov said, when you see something, it's a lesson. You have to learn something from it. So the rabbis are walking by, they see this guy doing something in a field, they said, hey, 1 minute, the guy's going against halacha. If he's going against halacha, rabbinic halacha, you have to ban him. So he says, what do you mean? He's not going against halacha. The Braisa says madlin, that you could. Or the Braisa says madlin. Now madlin can mean water, or madlin can mean thin out, that's a good word, thinning out the vegetables. So the first rabbi, the first Amida thought that madlin means you're allowed to water. So he said, the guy's not doing anything wrong. The other one says, what do you mean? It's not what madlin means. Madlin means you can thin out the vegetables. Why are you allowed to do that? Because you're eating it. But to pail it with water with the pail, that you're not allowed to do. So he says, where do I know that madlin means thinning vegetables? He says, Kiritanan, I'll show you where we learned to talk in the Mishnah, that the word madlin means thinning out vegetables. Why? Because it says, Hamadl bigfanim, or Maidel, it says in the Hamadl Bekfanim, if somebody thins out vines, you know, to make them grow better. So the Mishnah says, Kshem Shu Maidl Beshalei, just like he can thin out his own vines. Okay? That the thing should grow better. Kahu Maidl Beshalaniim, he's allowed to do it for the poor people also. Okay? Now, the din is, this is a din in Chol HaMoed. It says that just like you could thin out your own grapes, your own vines and Chol HaMoed, you can thin out the ones that you leave in the corner of the field for the poor people. Okay? What do you see from there? That the word meidel means to thin out. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. That Rabbi Yehuda holds, just like you can thin out your own vines, you're allowed to thin out a poor person's vines. Rameir says, no. Bishalai Rishoi. Yours, you're allowed to. But, Veinu Rishoi Bishalaniim. You're not allowed to do it for other poor, for the poor people. Why? What's the logic over here? The logic, as Mefarshim says, is very interesting logic. When you thin out the vines, you have less vines, but better quality. Right? Why would a person thin out his vegetables? The vegetables are growing. If you want to have better quality vegetables, so by thinning them out, so then the ones that remain grow better. So Rabbi Yehuda says that just like you can thin out your own vines, you could do it for the poor person too, for their vines. That you leave, you know, in the corner for payah for the end of the field. Rameir says, no, you can't do that for them. Because poor people, Rameir holds, would rather have more of lesser quality than more of lesser quality.
Also, you have to leave the...
I mean, then less of better quality. What?
You have to leave the land rest on the Shemitah anyway.
This is not Shemitah, this is Chol HaMoed.
But you're talking about poor people, Chol
HaMoed. Right. Okay, so now the question is, what do you see from this Mishnah? That the word meidel, or daat madle, means that you can thin out the stuff. So again, so now they're going back to the discussion. That this farmer who is watering his vegetables with a pail of water, did he do right or not? One opinion says he did right because he said madla means watering with a pail. The other one said he did wrong because madla means thinning it out, but you can't use a pail. Amalei Ravina, but Ravina said, what are you talking about? Vatanya, But we learned in another braisa, madlin mayim liyirokis. It says clearly, you can draw water for vegetables, kidei la'ochlam to eat them. He said, I'm going to prove to you from another braisa, from another halacha that we learned, that says clearly you can draw water in a pail for vegetables. So why are you telling me the guy did wrong? So he said, itanya tanya. I mean, if it says, it says. I retract my opinion. So in other words, at the end was, Ravina proved that the guy didn't do anything wrong. That he was allowed to water with a pail vegetables that you want to eat on Chol HaMoed. If you're doing it just to beautify the vegetables, then you're not allowed to, because you can't do work in the field for on Chol HaMoed. But to eat it, you're allowed to.
How do they know that he was going to eat them? How do they know that? That was just their assumption.
Well, you have to be down the kaf schus.
Maybe they asked them, otherwise how are they going to discommunicate them?
Well, they didn't. The question was if they obviously they thought he was doing it to eat. I mean, obviously that was obvious. Because if he was doing it to beautify it, then everybody says he didn't have it. Everybody would say he did wrong. So obviously either Avina saw that he was doing it to make it fresh and moist, or he judged him favorably. He said, listen, if the guy has two options, we can't excommunicate a guy because maybe he's doing something wrong. You know, the Jews don't do that. I mean, they're not supposed to do that. Let's put it that way.
If you're trying to avoid losses in your field in Chol HaMoed, according to the law, do you also do that for the corner that you put for the poor, or do you just leave it alone? You don't do anything?
You don't have to do it.
So you have no obligation to improve,
right,
or avoid loss for the poor.
Correct. I mean, Rameyers of the truth is, this Mishnah doesn't. The question: where is this Mishnah speaking by? Is this Mishnah speaking about Chol HaMoed? Is it speaking about Shemitah? Shemitah, obviously, I don't think it would be speaking about. Okay, then it said in the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, it said, "Ein esim ugias legfanim." You can't make ugias. The Gemara is going to ask, what is ugias? But in the Mishnah it said it then, you cannot make ugias for a vine during Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, my ugias, what does ugias mean, that you're not allowed to make them on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara answers, Amid of Yehuda, it means binchi, ditches. In other words, you're not allowed to make ditches for vines on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because that is extra work.
I have a question for you. What?
What?
I didn't think of ugias.
No, the Mishnah said the word ugias.
Yeah, why would someone think that up for? Make that a word up?
It's not a word, it was a word.
They're walking down a path and they decided to make this thing up.
It's an Aramaic word.
Huh?
It's Aramaic.
No, the Mishnah is Hebrew. It's interesting. Mishnah is not Aramaic. Gemara is Aramaic. Mishnah was written in Israel.
This word is
Hebrew. It's Hebrew.
This word.
Ugias is Hebrew.
Path, right? He walked down the path talking to himself.
Right. Not to themselves, between each other.
Huh?
They didn't have cell phones. They weren't talking to themselves.
Yeah, I know. And what's Ugias?
No, they're not walking anymore in the path. This is, the story's over. Oh, now in the Mishnah there was a din of Ugias.
No, I'm just saying. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you want to know where the word came from?
Yeah, how they make this word up?
It's a Hebrew word.
Yeah.
But the Gemara, in Bavel, it wasn't the common Hebrew word. So you have many times in the Mishnah says a word, which was known to the people in those days, but the Gemara later on didn't know what it meant. So they asked, what does the word mean?
Okay.
So the Gemara asked, what does it mean? The Gemara answered,
okay,
it means benche ditches.
Technical word.
Okay.
But the difference, Bechlal, I mean, this is not relevant exactly over here, but Mishnah was written in Israel by Rav Yehuda Nasi. It was in Hebrew. The Gemara was written in Bavel, and therefore the Gemara is in Aramaic. Okay, therefore, there's a big difference in Mishnah expression, which is straight Hebrew, and the Gemara, which is mostly Aramaic. So it's a whole different language. So the Gemara asks, what is the Hebrew word ugias? So he says, it means banche. So So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, I'll even prove it to you that this is the definition of the word Ogiyas. By the way, there's another thing. Mishnah, the Gemara says, was written in a very abridged form. And the Gemara explains, in the time of the Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi compiled the Mishnah, people would be able to understand from the text of the Mishnah in the abridged form, they would be able to understand what the Mishnah meant. Then, as the generations went down in level, that's why you have a lot of Gemara on one little Mishnah, because they were trying to figure out. And then in later generations, you have commentaries explaining the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, they're able to understand what the Gemara meant. Now you have codifiers and this and that, and commentaries, because the generations went down. So the Gemara says, what, Ugiyas? So the Yudah says, ditches. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi. We even learned it in a Braisa. And it says in the Braisa, Elohein Ugiyas, these are, what are Ugiyas? The Braisa itself asks the question, what is Ugiyas? And they say, Bedidin Shebeikri Zesim, ditches dug around the roots of olives, Shebeikri Gefanim, and roots of the grapevines. What were the purpose of the ditches? Very simple, to collect water, and that would water the olives and the grapes. So the Gemara says, Any, it's not true. How could you say Ugiyas means ditches? I'll prove to you that it doesn't mean ditches. Why? But have you the Shara Libnei Bar Bitsisai, the Mevet Bin Chilikamein? Rav Yehuda allowed the people of Bar Tzisya, which was the name of his either family or a city, two opinions, to make these ditches on Cholomet. So if our Mishnah says you're not allowed to make Ugiyas, and Ugiyas means ditches, that means you're not allowed to make ditches on Cholomet, how did Rav Yehuda permit the people from that city to make ditches in Chol HaMoed, if the Mishnah clearly says you're not allowed to? And Rav Yehuda is not going to go against the Mishnah. So Gemara says, you're right. Like Kashi, it's not a contradiction. Ha b'chadete, ha b'atike. There's a difference between new ditches and old ditches that collapsed. Meaning as follows. Our Mishnah says, ein eisin ugiyas. What is our Mishnah's expression? You're not allowed to make ditches. What is making ditches? Making ditches means new ditches you're not allowed to make. Why? That's a lot of work. You have to dig and shovel and the Mephoshim explain, when it's virgin soil, it's very hard to dig. Now, if Yehuda was permitting a different case, there were already ditches there. They caved in. So this is reopening a ditch, which is much easier, so therefore he said you were allowed to. But that doesn't mean that ditches, it means ditches. The difference is old ditches and new ditches. And like we learned before in the Gemara, new ditches are a lot of work, it's forbidden. Old ditches are much easier than you're allowed.
Atike means old?
Atike means old.
That's also
Farsi. Hey, for a change, Farsi got something right. Atike. Atika Kadisha, Atik, the world of Atik in Kabbalah, it's also a very, high. Okay. Then the Gemara says, in the Mishnah, it said a din, Rabbi Lazar ben Azaya said, in Eisin is Sa'amah, you're not allowed to dig a new irrigation canal, not during Chol HaMoed and not during Shemitah. Because the first Mishnah that we learned, on Beis Amin Aleph, was discussing most dinam of Chol HaMoed, but it also went into certain dinam of Shemitah in the sabbatical year when you're also not allowed to work in a field. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaya in the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to make new irrigation canals, again because it's a lot of work, not Chol HaMoed and not Shemitah. Because sabbatical year, you're also not allowed to work in the field. So the Gemara says, they don't understand this din. Bishlam HaMoed, I understand Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to dig a new ditch, a new irrigation canal, because it's a lot of work. To dig a new canal is a lot of work. But Shmiyas, my time, why can't you do it during Shemitah? Meaning as follows. In Shemitah, you're not allowed to work in the field to make things grow. What's the problem digging a canal? You're not planting, you're not plowing, you're digging a canal. Why can't you dig a canal during Shemitah? Chol HaMoed, I understand. Over there you talk about exertion of work. It's exertion of work, you're not allowed to do it. But Shemitah, what does this have to do with planting a field?
Bring water that can possibly...
We'll see. It's not so simple. Shemitah is only allowed to growing crops. Okay? Exertion of work is not forbidden during Shemitah. So why can't you dig a canal during Shemitah? So the Gemara says, Pliga ba Rab Zeira v'Rababa b'Mamu. So there's two opinions. There's Rab Zeira's opinion and Rababa b'Mamu, why it's forbidden. Chadam, one of them says, B'pnei Shinira Ka'eder. It looks like he's hoeing the field for the Shemitah year. Now, Eder is hoeing, H-O-E, which means you soften the ground. Either to weed it out, basically hoeing. I looked it up in the dictionary, get the exact word for hoeing. Hoeing is when you soften ground, either to weed it out or to make things grow. Now, when a guy is digging a canal, what do people think?
They don't think he's hoeing.
They might think he's hoeing, one of them says. In other words, you might be digging a ditch, but what do they see that you're doing? You're digging holes in the ground. So they might think that you're getting the field ready for plowing, for planting. Another opinion says, V'chadam, the other opinion says, you know why you can't do it during Shemitah? M'nei shemachshed agapel l'zriya. When you dig, it's an interesting concept, when you dig out dirt, so where do you put it? Next to the banks of the canal, right? That earth is softened and ready for planting. Because you dug it out already. So when you put the earth down on the side, what are you actually doing? Getting that part of the land ready for planting. Because it's softened now. So one opinion says, you're not allowed to do it. In other words, the Mishnah says you can't do it during Shemitah. That's a given. The Gemara says, but why? I mean, what's the Aveda, so to speak? So one opinion says, it looks like you're working in the field. The second one says, not because it looks like you're really getting that land that you dug out, that earth, you're getting it ready to grow. So the Gemara says, my binayil, what's the difference? In other words, there has to be a halachic difference between the two opinions, if not they wouldn't argue. So it says, ika binayil, the ka'osu maya basrei. The difference is, if water, as soon as you dig it, water comes in. So if when you're digging, water comes in, nobody's going to think you're hoeing the ground. Because they see right away that water is coming in, so it's for an irrigation canal. But if you hold the reason is because the earth that you take out is ready for growing, so that's still forbidden. Because that earth is still ready to grow.
That's not his intention.
Doesn't matter. But the fact is, that earth will be able to be grown very easily. In fact, Tosis over here says, Tosis, by the way, Tosis Taki asks your question, L'cha'eda, it's Eina Miskaven, it's not his intention. So Taisus answers, it's a psikresha. It's inevitable.
It's the same thing that applies in Shabbos.
Same thing of Shabbos. In other words, I have to explain it for the people that are not here Sunday morning. The din is, it's an argument to Rav Shimon Rav Yehuda, but what happens if you do something on Shabbos unintentionally? You have no kavanah to do it. Your intention is not to do it. The classic example the Gemara gives, on Shabbos you're not allowed to plow a field. What does plowing a field mean? Making holes in the field. That's the way plows work. What happens is somebody wants to drag a heavy table on the ground on Shabbos. Now his intention is not to make holes in the field. His intention is to get the table from there to there. He couldn't care less about the holes in the ground. So the question is that allowed or not? So the Yehuda holds you're not allowed to. Even though your intention is not to make holes, but the fact you're making holes, then it's forbidden. Rav Shimon says, if it's unintentional, you're allowed to do it. But, the Gemara says, if it's what's called psikresha, Psikresha literally means, it's really Psikresha v'layamos. Psikresha v'layamos means, a guy says, I'm going to chop off the head of the chicken, but I don't want it to die. Which means, if it's for sure going to happen, you can't say, I'm chopping off the head of the chicken, but I don't want it to die. I mean, it doesn't matter what you want, it's for sure going to happen. Okay? And therefore, Rav Shimon agrees, if it's for sure going to happen, then you can't say it's unintentional, even though you might not have intention for it, but the fact that it's for sure going to happen, the Torah says, whether you like it or not, it's considered intentional. So first, to give you, based on the case we just said, if somebody's going to schlep a bench on the ground, it might make holes, it might not make holes. It might and it might not. So Rav Shimon says, you can schlep the bench on the ground. It might make a hole. It might make a hole. My intention is not to make a hole. But if it's such a heavy bench, or whatever, that by schlepping it, it's for sure going to make a hole in the ground, then even though you're saying I don't intend for it to make a hole in the ground, it doesn't help. Coming back to our Gemara, the question is, I'm putting stuff on the bank of the river, right? My intention is not to make it ready to plant. My intention is to get the canal going. But the fact that it's for sure becoming ready to plant, you can't say, Taisus explained, this psik reisha, you can't say that your intention is not to do it. To give you, by the way, I mentioned this Sunday morning also, to give you a practical example, this psik reisha when it comes to Shabbos, give you a very simple example, a very practical case. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to cause bleeding. It's one of the lamitas melachos, causing something to bleed. Now, can somebody floss their teeth on Shabbos with pre-cut floss? Because you can't cut it. Let's use pre-cut dental floss. Are you allowed to floss your teeth on Shabbos?
No.
Well,
it depends.
It depends. I'm going to be Jewish. It depends. Now, if your gums always bleed every time you floss, then you're not allowed to floss. Why? You can't say, but I don't want it to bleed. I want to clean my teeth. I'm not interested in bleeding. But if your gums always bleed every time you floss, then you're not allowed to, because by you, it's a psikresha. It's for sure going to happen. What happens, though, if your gums sometimes bleed, sometimes they don't bleed? Yeah, no. I mean, it doesn't always happen. So then the halacha is, you're allowed to floss your teeth on Shabbos. Well, even if it ends up bleeding, it doesn't matter, because your intention was not that it shouldn't bleed. Or your intention was not that it should bleed, and it's not for sure going to happen, so you're allowed to do it. So it's interesting, Taisus over here is likening Shemitah in this respect, Malach and Shemitah, to Malach and Shabbos.
But there's a certain possibility that it could happen.
Huh?
That there's a certain possibility it could happen gives you intention.
No, it's not my intention. But Taisus says, by the way, that's the end of Taisus. The beginning of Taisus, Taisus says over here, which is another interesting point, even though your kavan is not that it should be planted, but people think you're plowing. So again, Taisus holds it looks like plowing. And then Taisus says, even that, it's actual psikresha, and therefore it is anyway. Okay, so now the Gemara asks this. So the Gemara asked, why Shemitah is not allowed? The Gemara answered two things. And the Gemara said, what's the difference between them? If water comes right away as soon as you dig the trench. So if water comes right away, everybody will see that your intention is not to hoe the field. But if you're doing it because you're putting the dirt on the sides, so then it's forbidden. And then the Gemara says, well, the man, the Yomit, the Gemara asks a question. It's a very simple question. Whereas there's two reasons, there's A and B. Okay, why is it forbidden? Either because it looks like you're hoeing a field, or because you're preparing it. And the Gemara says, what's the difference? The Gemara says, if water comes straight away. The Gemara says, I understand. Both reasons are correct. There's a problem with both reasons. So even the guy that says reason A, why doesn't he hold of reason B? And the guy that says reason B, he should hold of reason A too. So in all cases, there shouldn't be any difference between the two. In other words, when you have two reasons, but both are logical that they're wrong. I mean, logic that they're correct in the reason why you're not allowed to do it. So just because you hold the reason is it looks like you're hoeing a field, but nevertheless, you also have the problem that you are preparing the dirt on the side. And if you hold the reason is because you're preparing dirt on the side, but the fact is you also looks like hoeing. So according to both opinions, you have both reasons. And that's what the Gemara asks. According to the opinion that says the reason why you're not allowed to make a canal during Shemitah is because it looks like you're hoeing the field, he should also be concerned, like the other person's reason, that you are preparing the dirt on the bank of the river to be ready for thing. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. We're going to find a different difference between the two. Now the difference is the shakul minei, when he takes the earth out of the canal, and he doesn't put it by the banks of the canal. He throws it far away. What happens when you throw dirt far away? It scatters all over the place, and nobody's going to think that you're preparing soil to plant. So hoeing applies, because it still looks like you're hoeing the thing, but nobody's going to think that you're planting the grass, the dirt next to the canal that you took out, because you threw it all over the place.
So if he does that, water immediately comes, it's permissible?
Yep. That's what Mark's saying, that's the difference. He takes the dirt out and throws it far away where it scatters. So then the opinion that says we're afraid that the reason is because it looks like he's getting the field ready to plant, leka, the reason doesn't apply because he's not doing it. He's throwing the dirt far away. But the opinion that says it looks like you're hoeing the field, that there is, and that you wouldn't be allowed to either. So right away the Gemara, but you have the other, let's go the other way. But according to the opinion that says, the reason why you're not allowed to make a canal during Shemitah is because it looks like you're making the earth on the side of the bank, you know, ready to plant. But it looks like hoeing too. In other words, he's asking now in the reverse. If you say the reason you can't make a canal during Shemitah is because the dirt you put at the side looks like you're planting, and therefore if you threw it far away, it doesn't matter. But the Gemara says it's still another problem. It still looks like hoeing a field. And for that reason, it should be forbidden. So Gemara says, Eidanami, hoeing also doesn't apply here, according to that opinion. Why? He says, Kishako beduchte manichli. Anytime a person hoes a field, and they move the dirt around, they put it right next door to where they're doing it. They don't throw it away. So Gemara answers, when you throw something away, it's not hoeing at all. So if you hold, the reason why it's forbidden is because of the dirt you're taking out looks like you're doing something wrong with it, in this case it won't, because you're throwing it far away. But if the reason is because you're hoeing the field, not the dirt you take out, but what you're doing to the canal itself, then it would be forbidden, because it looks like you're hoeing a field. In other words, the difference between the two opinions, the Gemara basically explains, very interesting. One opinion that says you're not allowed to make a canal during Shemitah because you're hoeing the field. What's the problem? The hole that you made in the ground. Not the dirt you took out. The problem is the hole you made in the ground. The opinion that says you're not allowed to because you're planting, you're getting the soil that you're taking out ready, then it's not a problem of the canal, it's a problem of the dirt you took out. That's the difference between the two opinions. Is it the hole I'm making in the ground, or is the problem is with the dirt I'm taking out? One opinion says, the problem is the dirt I'm taking out, that dirt looks like him getting ready to plant. So therefore the Gemara said, if you throw it far away, then nobody's going to think you're getting that dirt ready for planting, because you scatters all over the place. The other opinion says, no, the problem is not the dirt they take out. The problem is the hole I made in the ground for the water to run through. That looks like hoeing. So therefore, that's the problem. So the question, why is it forbidden? But the bottom line of the Gemara is, we're not done yet, but the Gemara explains the Mishnah. Why can you not dig a canal in Shemitah? It's not because of the work. In other words, when the Mishnah said, you can't make a canal Chol HaMoed or Shemitah, the din is the same, you're not allowed to make a canal on Chol HaMoed and Shemitah, but the reasons are completely different. Shemitah, Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to make a new canal because it's too much work. Shemitah, the problem is not because of work. Shemitah, you can work as much as you want because it looks like you're working in the field. So the same din, but it's for two different reasons. And even by Shemitah, there's two reasons. Why is it forbidden during Shemitah? Either because the dirt I'm taking out is going to be ready to plant, because it's softened. And the other opinion says, no, the hole that you made in the ground is hoeing, and it looks like you're hoeing a field. And people are going to mistake it, and they're going to think that you can hoe during Shemitah, when you're not allowed. The difference would be, on Shemitah, can I dig a canal if I'm throwing the dirt far away? So what opinion in the Gemara says you would be allowed to? And the other opinion says you wouldn't be allowed to. If the reason why you can't during Shemitah is because it looks like hoeing, then you can't do it even if you throw the dirt far away. The other opinion says the reason you can't do it during Shemitah is because you're softening up the dirt you're taking out. So then if you throw it far away that it scatters, then you would be allowed to do it.
Do you know how big the canal is? Does it matter how deep he's going or how deep he's digging?
Yeah, you have to come back next week. No, next week the Gemara is going to... And this is... Huh?
I mean, if he's digging a 10-foot deep hole... It's
No. The Gemara says it has to be a normal ditch was 6 tefachim deep, and I think was a 3... It was 6 tefachim deep.
If it's clogged up 5 tefachim,
we'll see later in the Gemara. No, the Gemara is going to talk later. Basically, a normal canal ditch was 6 tefachim deep. Tefach is 3 to 4 inches. And it was seemingly 3 tefachim wide.
It looks like an irrigation canal.
It is an
irrigation
canal.
It looks like the rows in between when you're making corn or wheat or something like that. It's the same.
Well, I'm not a farmer yet.
Well, I was a farmer.
I know, so I'm not arguing with you. Because, in fact, the Gemara is going to explain, if it's too deep in the ground, it's no good. And if it's not deep enough, it's no good. And also it has to be a certain width. Because otherwise, even if the water is going through, it's not really enough width in water of water to also irrigate the field. But in fact, we're going to learn later in the Gemara what happens if it's 6, can you make it 7, can you make it, you know, all the various different laws apply, but that one, Mr. Shem, we'll get to next week. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amemer Masnalo, Amemer learned our Mishnah because of Shenira Ka'eder. Amemer said clearly, why does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say you cannot make an irrigation canal during Shemitah? Chol HaMoed is easy because it's too much work. Why can you not do it during Shemitah? He says, Shenira Ka'eder, because it looks like you're hoeing. Okay? And he asked the Koshe, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He asked a contradiction from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and himself. He contradicts himself. Why? Because of me, I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Kol shenira ka'eder aser, how could Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in our Mishnah say anything that looks like hoeing is forbidden? V'namino, I'll ask you a question. It says, Eisa adam ezavli eisad, a person can put his fertilizer as a stockpile in his field during Shemitah. In other words, he's permitted, even though it might look like he wants to fertilize his field, which is forbidden during Shemitah, but the fact that the guy's piling it up shows that he's not interested in fertilizing the field. Rav Meir says it's forbidden to stockpile your fertilizer in the field unless if you make a 3 tfachim into the ground, or 3 tfachim above the ground, because then it for sure can't be used for fertilizer. In other words, in order for fertilizer to work, it has to be on the field. If it's too high or too deep in the ground, it doesn't work. So Rav Meir holds the only way you can stockpile fertilizer during the Shemitah year, if you show clearly you're not interested in fertilizing, meaning it's either too high off the ground or it's too deep in the ground. What happens if he had a little bit of fertilizer there before Shemitah? He can add on to it. Because the fact that it was there before, people see that it was stockpiled. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Emer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Eisid, it forbids it, Achiyamik Shlesha, Oishiyag Biyah Shlesha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. Even if you had a little bit before, you still have to make it high, 3 tvachim, or 3 tvachim deep, or Achiyitin alasela, unless if you put it on a rock. Okay? Then if you put the fertilizer on a boulder, people know that you're not planning to fertilize your field. What do you see from there? That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, if it looks like fertilizing, you can't do it. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The Gemara's question is, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say to do during Shemitah? Dig 3 tefachim deep to put the fertilizer. He just got through saying you're not allowed to dig during Shemitah. How can you put the dig 3 tefachim to make the fertilizer, put the fertilizer there? He says you're not allowed to dig because it looks like hoeing. Okay, so the Gemara answers, let's finish this up. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Mamel answered the contradiction. Chad Amar Kagen Shehemik, he says, one says he lowered the dump site before Shemitah, meaning he dug before Shemitah. But Taka during Shemitah, he holds you're not allowed to dig. And the other one says, no, Zivli Mechia Cholov. If you're digging to put fertilizer, that itself shows that you're not planning to dig for hoeing. It shows your mom is storing. So then, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would agree that it wouldn't be a problem. Okay.